Hey everyone, welcome to the Foch's Corner, starring the king of Twitter of UVA basketball, Coach Phony Bennett. We also have T-Dubs, the producer, CEO. Dougie Smith will be joining us shortly, and I'm Mark Jerome. Phony, how you doing this week?
Oh man, it's been a tough week. I think it's been tough for a lot of people. There's just so much going on right now, and not a whole lot of it is good. But we got some good things to talk about today. I think we might probably touch on some of the stuff that's not good. I'm happy to hear the Fires are staying away from T-Dub.
Yeah, like I was saying earlier, house not burning down is a huge win for 2020. I'll take it.
How close do you think they got to you, the Fires?
It was like 10 miles.
Wow.
I mean, they told us to get ready. Like, the city next, like, not far from here had an evacuation warning. So we started packing our stuff, too, just because, like, you know, one night changes everything, right? 12 hours or whatever, 10 hours. It's kind of wild to sit there and pack your stuff. Like, all right, I don't really have to have this if this burns down. Like, it's just, right. It's just like not the kind of decisions you want to make.
Wow.
On a whim, but that's 2020.
So, do you have a bug out bag?
We do. We put it. You know, we packed up a bunch of somewhat essential things.
Yeah.
Like championship T-shirts.
Right. You got to prioritize. And to think, like, 2,000 miles away is a hurricane that could probably put that whole fire out.
Yeah, right. I know. Makes no sense.
I was listening to a report about the hurricanes this morning, and they were talking about people who are evacuating what the essential items they are needed to when they leave. And even the few people who work for government agencies who are staying behind, like 150 people staying behind, and what they're telling them to do, and, like, pack their passports, pack something in a plastic bag that's gonna lock. Like, that's scary.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, sadly, I already had I have this like fire, it's like a Ziploc type of bag that's like fireproof. Mm-hmm. So then you put all your essentials in there, so, you know, like, to have, it's just terrifying that I even have. I already had that because it's a California thing, right?
So what was in the bag, T-Dubs?
Passport, driver's license, wallet, some enough cash to get by, and then kids' birth certificates and all of that. All the, you know, social security card, all of the really essential stuff, like, put it all in there. It's like basically a folder. It's not the most exciting thing in the world.
But how far would you need to go to be safe?
I have no idea. Like, we never even came up with a plan, like, what we would do when we got in the car. Like, it just, like,
drive away from the fire is a good start.
It's essentially get in the car and then let's figure it out. Like, I have no idea. Like, it's just like, it is. Just get away from the fire, I guess, and just keep driving. I don't know, hotel. I've no clue.
Right. Well, and that's the thing. I mean, a lot of folks have the luxury of just, okay, when we find a hotel, we go there. But I think of all the people, there were so many people that I think weren't able to evacuate because they had nowhere to go.
Right.
You know, the shelters fill up, and especially, you know, with the pandemic, a lot of people have even less money than they did before if they've been out of work. I mean, they can't just drive up the street. I mean, it's brutal. But at least we got basketball.
Exactly. That was the first topic. I mean, we had to talk about the NBA boycott. It's like the first thing. There's still discussion ongoing amongst players about the timing of playoff resumption. The expectation that Saturday return of games will be finalized later today. This is from Woj 3 hours ago. This is like a really fluid thing, so kind of hard to talk about it, knowing that when people hear this, it's probably going to be totally different.
Right, by the time they hear it, they might be playing again. Well, I mean, go ahead, man.
Well, I was going to say, what were y'all thoughts on when you heard games were canceled yesterday?
I'll let Mark lead us off on this.
So I didn't – I knew the story of the guy getting shot. I didn't know what happened. And then I was so angry last night when I saw the video. of the militia, of the guy walking around right. with the gun, with the long rifle, and the police screaming at the protesters that it's past curfew and they get to get off the street. And this guy had just shot, allegedly shot two people and perhaps potentially killed two people, possibly killed two people. And I was furious, screaming at the TV. Like, are you serious? You know, it's so the country's so freaking divided, right? You have like, they can't, people can't even, they have no empathy, compassion, or respect, right? You can't even understand why a specific, why the majority of a group of people are angry and upset. Like, let's just think about why baby people are upset for a second. Let's just take that into consideration.
Right.
Well, and this whole series of events is shows the disparate treatment, and it's a microcosm. You had a guy that, you know, gets shot in the back, and
seven times,
versus, you know, the white guy who killed people. He's being praised as a hero in some circles. The cops gave him water, you know, allowed him to go home. It's stunning. And you would hope that reasonable people would sit back and say, you know what, even if they weren't on the Black Lives Matter train, like, look at this and say this, we should all play by the same rules. And you know, we're not. And the treatment of people of color, it's been known for so long, and what the NBA players are doing is forcing people to talk about it more. Just the fact that, you know, we're talking about it because the NBA did this, we're talking about it on the show, and we've touched on this stuff before, but you know, these athletes have powerful voices. People are paying attention to what they do, so you know, I respect the hell out of them for doing that. And I, you know, it looks like there's not really going to be much change. They're just going to resume the playoffs on Saturday. I mean, this team was willing to forfeit the game, to forfeit their season over this. And so, you know, things are bigger than sports. And Sean Doolittle said, you know, earlier this season, when talking about the pandemic, that sports are a reward for a functioning society. And I keep thinking about that, you know, looking at this, things are messed up right now. And so I respect those athletes for doing this. I'm losing my optimism that we'll see meaningful change. But I hope so.
I think things are going to get worse, continue to get worse before there's improvement. Like, it's going down a road of destruction. Like, I don't mean physical destruction. I mean, just like relationships and divisiveness. Right. But also, you know, some, you know, you can look at a politician who's saying they're very fine people. The president was saying they're very fine people on both sides. Like, really? Wait a minute. No. What's the formula for being very fine? It can't be a neo-Nazi, can't be very fine. It's not a very fine person. Someone supports racism is not okay. Someone that says Jews go to hell or whatever, I forget whatever the phrase was, Jews, you know, it's not okay. It's just not okay. So how can you, what Trump, what is your formula? Right? And people that support that, you know, he's not a racist, or just because I support him, I'm not a racist. Well, what you support is racist ideology and his philosophies and his, all his rhetoric, right? I really think things are going to get worse before they get better. And I think the NBA, even the NBA taking 2 days off or 3 days off, I think people understand the potential of their power.
Sure.
Right. And I think there's a lot of leverage in that. And what baseball did and what football has the potential to do, right? When you look at an industry that where 70% of the players are black and they're saying, we're not going to put up with this, listen to us. I always want to try to understand the other side. I really do. Even if I don't agree, I want to understand it, right? And so, you know, the other side in this argument is I've heard different things. Oh, he was going to go burn down the people that were shot and killed. We're going to go burn down the auto store, the you know, the car manufacturer, the car dealer, auto dealership, right? Or you know, they were out of control and they were going to loot and they were going to riot and they were going to set fires. Like, you know that for sure. One, I mean, two, that means you shoot and kill somebody and you have the right to do that. And it's endorsed by the police and the police chief. Now, if the police chief gets fired, which I got to believe he's going to, right, of you Kenosha,
yeah,
I got to believe he's going to get fired for making a statement like that. Like, how could he not get fired, right? Unless that police union is super strong. Like in New York, the police union is incredibly strong, PBA. If this guy gets fired, he's going to get reassigned. He's going to keep his pension, right? He's going to be fine. And when there's a lawsuit filed, I keep going back to this. When there's a lawsuit filed, guess who's paying for that lawsuit?
Right.
The taxpayers.
Sure.
Like at some point, I would be pissed off if I were a racist or supported this or wasn't sure if I was okay with what's going on. Right. And there's lawsuit after lawsuit. And here's the other piece. It's not just the murders and the killings. It's the continual harassment, right? Walking down the street, being looked at, being targeted, being stopped, being profiled. Like there's a video every day, you know, three videos a day with people being harassed and by the police and by whatever, by, you know, with institutionalized racism. It goes on and on and on. It's nonstop.
Right. Right, right. Someone getting shot and killed is what gets the national attention, but it's all the smaller violations that are taking place on a daily basis.
It just builds up. Yes. I mean, I thought it was cool that they boycotted. I thought it was really great. Like, stand up for it. I don't care if it doesn't amount to anything. Just, you got to do something, right? It's like, do something. And if this hopefully translate just to something, at least conversations. Like,
I mean, think of the tens of millions of dollars that are at stake for the NBA to continue their playoffs.
Right.
You know, you're going to motivate some very powerful people, you know, that are going to be working very pragmatically. Unfortunately, they're not going to be working necessarily from a position of compassion or morality, but because, man, we got to keep these guys happy. But I mean, you've got to get change. Somehow,
exactly. I'm just like happy to see it.
I see this as part of the long road that was started years ago, right, by Colin Kaepernick. And I don't even know if you could say he started it, right? Maybe it goes back to Muhammad Ali days. But let's just say in recent history, it goes back to 4 years ago with Colin Kaepernick, right? And some of the changes that have been made and the awareness that's happened across the country. Did you guys see what Goodell said?
Yeah.
Right?
No, I didn't.
He's got a black nephew, I think. And now he's changing his tune. He's basically apologized.
Right.
And he's saying, I have a black nephew who opened my eyes to this. And I was wrong about Colin Kaepernick 4 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's important. That's big. He represents the owners. Right.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it keeps his job.
Right. Right.
He and Jerry Jones will go at it. But it's certainly, it's. I think that's a, I don't know, good start, but, you know, it shows that there could be some change.
And then, did you guys see Robert Ori have, I can search that really quick. The Robert Ori, he had a little discussion on his show, and kind of went viral with him talking about how terrifying it is. He has two, you know, a 19 and a 20-year-old son, and watching them go out every day. And he just goes, he just has an interesting one. We'll put the link in the description, but it's really good.
Yeah, I'll need to watch
how
that.
Scary. Yeah.
What's he say? Yeah. He's talking about how scary it is when his kids go out and he's worried if they're ever going to come home.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like how explaining to his kids how hard, you know, how careful they have to be in his, you know, obviously you guys can watch it later, but he paraphrasing, he just says, let them beat you as long as you know, let them kick you, let them punch you, just come home to me at the end of the night.
Like,
that's really awesome. Crazy.
I mean, this isn't new, what he's saying. I mean, it's different. Let them beat you, let them punch you, just make sure you come home. The words are so powerful. My mom, and look at my complexion, right? It's even a little darker in the summertime because of this, I'm outside in the sun. But my mom would always say she was more fearful of the police shooting me and killing me in New York City than anything else.
Yeah, it's very telling.
Yeah, that's that's tough. But, you know, I saw the Chris Webber talked about it for a couple minutes yesterday. But all that stuff is only happening because the players took action. So
yeah, exactly. That's what I thought was really cool.
And so it's generated a lot of conversation. And you know, at first I was like, so what, you know, what is this going to accomplish? Is it just simply awareness? Because the people that could fix this are already aware of it. They just don't want to fix it. And so it's we got to get beyond awareness, but getting more of a discussion. I mean, hopefully you're getting through to some people. The longer all this goes on, the more pessimistic I find myself and the more cynical I find myself. But, you know, I got kids, so I've got to hope for something better.
Right.
I've got to think it's going to get better, you know.
But that's my point. I think we're all going to be somewhat cynical and depressed about it. If you're passionate about it, right. And you have some compassion and respect and empathy, because it's only going to keep getting worse. Before this thing gets better, there are going to be more people shocking. It, when there's nothing done, right, there's no penalty, there's no punishment
right.
to the police or to a militia, it's going to continue, right? So it's going to get worse until somebody says, okay, these guys are going to go to jail for a long time, or maybe, who knows, maybe there's a civil war.
Right.
Right. But also, you started to make this point, Chris, and I think you did, and where it's, the people who are siding with this movement, like, you're probably not going to change too many minds right now,
right,
in the midst of all this, right? Because people, a lot of people are seeing who are opposed to the movement are seeing some riot that, you know, Fox TV and some conservative other stations are going to show rioting and they're going to show looting, right? They're not going to show peaceful protests. And guess what? When this stuff happens, when it goes down, you're right. There is going to be rioting and looting. People are angry. The contract has been broken, right? So here's the way I'm going to break the contract. I'm angry. I saw a great movie the other day. I saw City of Hope. City of Hope by a director, John Sayles, writer-director John Sayles, who's like just so incredibly smart. There's always so many moving parts. And it was loosely based on maybe a town like Newark, New Jersey, the politics and the race and the complexity. And it was just a story on like what happens. And it was, and this is what's going on now. This was 40 years ago when the movie came out. So you guys get a chance to see it. Please watch it. Please. Great movie.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if I've talked about this on the podcast, but the most transformative course that I took at UVA was Julian Bond's History of the Civil Rights Movement.
Oh, wow.
And, to learn about the civil rights movement from somebody that was a part of it, you know, carried a different kind of weight. And, you know, I grew up in a very, racially diverse neighborhood. You know, and I saw, you know, from a distance, a lot of, you know, what people of color went through, but man, listening to Julian Bond just felt like such a privilege. And, you know, you get that understanding that it's tough for a lot of people to get to, and maybe a lot of people don't have the opportunity to get that understanding in their lives. But, you know, I'm so thankful, you know, for getting to hear, you know, his, you know, recollection of how all of it went down. It was,
Did you see Eyes on the Prize?
I saw some of it then, and that may have been, so what year did that come out before? Because I probably took his class in 93, 94.
I think it came out before. Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, and so I think when I took it, I knew that, okay, this was the guy that narrated Eyes on the Prize. And that's the thing. He's got just such had just such a wonderful voice. And, you know, the manner in which he spoke, it was, you know, you think of the other civil rights leaders, you know, of the time. And it's funny, my international studies teacher in high school told us, he said, you know, with Dr. King, you had very much an appeal to emotion and morality. And he said with Julian Bond, he scared a lot of people because his appeal was to logic and to intellect and to what, you know, and it was harder to defeat and kind of hand wave away for folks. I mean, he was just, listening to him speak was, man, just something I'll never forget.
That must have been a fascinating course. He was friendly with my family, so I knew of him at a young age. And hearing his voice and eyes on the prize was so powerful.
Right.
And you know what this reminds me of with the militia and the police? It reminds me of the scene that it's all over Eyes on the Prize. I mean, it's not limited to Eyes on the Prize, and I knew about it before, just my family exposed me to it at an early age, was the dogs and the water fire and the fire hoses.
Right. Right,
being called on the protesters.
Right.
That's what it's reminding me of. And Bull Connor shouting out, you know, racist rhetoric and George Wallace, you know, segregation yesterday, segregation today, segregation tomorrow. I think that's the quote. You know, this country's so divided right now. I mean, I guess it was always divided, but it's
so obvious really, now.
Yeah.
Well, and I think the people, you know, with the worst instincts right now, the worst people in the room feel like it's okay to speak out. And that's because right. of our leadership. And they feel like, you know, spewing their hate that prioritizes property over lives. I mean, you know, look at the protests, you know, people are rioting, you know, because people are being killed for no reason. And you've got a lot of, a big coalition of people who are mad. They're more mad about the property damage than they are about the people being killed. And now we have someone that killed people for damaging property that they're holding up as a hero because, again, property is more important than lives. And I just don't think you're going to change those people's minds is the problem. There's no set of facts that's going to change their mind that, you know what, human lives are valuable. Every one of us is valuable. And even if someone has made mistakes in their life, their life is still meaningful, and we've established this beautiful system of justice that while it hasn't worked as well as it possibly could have, we still established the rules, and the police don't get to choose who lives and who dies. That's right. That's not something that we've abdicated to them, and there are a lot of folks that are okay with that, and it's a scary proposition. Scary. But I don't think you're changing folks' minds about it.
Yeah, I rarely ever tweet, but I tweeted this morning that here's one thing that seems pretty obviously needs to change, and this is like requirements to become a Detroit police must be 18, possess a valid driver's license, high school diploma, GED, U.S. citizenship, no felonies. And then conversely, the requirements to become an in and out store clerk. And there's 15 things that are required. and you know, that alone is like, come on, like we need a higher bar for these people that are supposed to protect and serve. And like having a valid driver's license is not something that should be. You know, it's ridiculous.
What experience with working with people did this cop have?
All right.
Right. Going into a neighborhood that's not his community and then like maybe be able to have a conversation with somebody like you're supposed to be able to diffuse. Right.
Yeah.
And diffuse is not shooting someone. That's not
right.
Not what the definition of diffusing is. Right. But clearly some people, they think that's what it is. But again, I go back to this point all the time because you have a lot of naysayers or a lot of people who are on the opposite side who say, oh, you guys are blowing this out of proportion. It's only very few people that are shot and killed, very few black people that are shot and killed, people of color shot and killed by the police. And sometimes they're in the wrong. And I heard this incredible report on NPR about Ahmaud Arbery and the corruption involved in that case is so alarming. Right, between the DA and the police and the former and the guys that shot him, it's just like the DA, the original DA should have gone to jail.
Right.
Or the second one, actually. The first one recused herself. The second one, who finally had to do the same, who finally had to recuse himself, he should be in jail.
I mean, to me, it's like, who really be – when I think about, like, you know, when you were at school, who are the people that were striving to become policemen? Very few. Like it's not a job that you strive to have. It's more like all right, I'm dysfunctional. I'm a C student. I don't know where my life is going. Maybe I go Army. I'll become a cop. And like, that's a recipe for disaster, right? You got, you know, guys that have no business.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you definitely got some doing it for the wrong reason.
Yeah.
You know, they extending their power fantasies from high right. school or whatever. Right. And I say some. The problem that I have with the good cops is in any other profession, if you've got someone that consistently is shitty at his job and is breaking the rules, you're not going to tolerate that. Yeah, you know, if a bunch of surgeons know one guy that's always killing patients, the surgeons union isn't going to save that guy's license.
All right. Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I interrupted you. I'm so sorry.
No, I'm bad.
It's such a great point because right. at what point do you ever hear a police chief or another cop say, I wasn't there. I don't have the answer. It's always like, oh, it was the shooting was justified.
Right.
Or the killing was justified. Or the harassment was justified. You weren't even there. How do you know that this cop made a mistake? Where even if he, let's just say, the cop wasn't racist, wasn't a jerk, but perhaps made a mistake.
Yeah, because maybe he's just bad at his job. You know, yeah, it may not be hate.
To no end, the police union is going to support him or her, no matter what.
Right. Is that guilty by association, or they just don't want to be? I don't know. I just don't get it. If we're, I would say, that's a crazy topic that to transition off of. we're gonna try to do it.
Good luck with that segue, Tito.
Yeah, so let's transition to something a little lighter, more positive. I was gonna go back to Virginia, and I don't know if you heard Smoke. He was on our podcast. It was really good. But getting to football, Brendan Armstrong named Virginia starting QB. Pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you know, I don't really know much about the because it was like a graduate transfer or a JUCO guy that he was competing against. And I really don't know, you know, anything about him. But, you know, I respect, you know, Armstrong, you know, for hanging in there. And you know, when he would come in, you know, when Perkins would get banged up or whatever, he definitely showed a lot of promise. So I'm excited that he's going to be able to carry that because, you know, fans know who he is, and you know he seems like he could be a really unique kind of talent. Man. And so I'm excited to see what he's able to do with the opportunity.
I mean, I hear things sophomore.
That's what I thought.
And
yeah, so and if this year doesn't count, you know, somebody was saying he can get to play in six seasons because if eligibility this year doesn't count, he could have three seasons after this one. You know, he actually used a season last year, but his redshirt season, he was able to play limited snaps or whatever because of the redshirt rule. So,
who is his competition?
I don't know the guy's name.
It was, it doesn't say here. I forget what his name is, but yeah, it's a transfer. Exciting though. Nonetheless, I've heard great things about him.
About like, Armstrong or about
About Armstrong. I heard he's, going to be.
Yeah, and I mean, special. You know, it's not just skill versus skill, but it's the leadership side of things. And this is a guy that's been in the huddle for us before and has been in the locker room with those guys for, this will be his third year now. So I like that versus someone who's just walking in. You know, I think in the more difficult times, you know, he's got more of a chance there.
When is the first game scheduled for?
September, is it 13th?
Is it that soon?
It's not long. It's something like that.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's going to be Virginia Tech. So that's the other thing. We're going because what NC State has a bunch of positive cases. They've had to push back the start of their season, which was to open against Virginia Tech. Unfortunately, Tech had an open date like on the 26th or something, and both teams did. So this will be the opener for both UVA and Virginia Tech, assuming we don't plug in our plus one. And 9/19, so the 19th, sorry.
Wow. 3 weeks. All right.
Allegedly. I feel like we should just add allegedly to any talk about the upcoming football season. Because, you know, again, the NC State thing, well, they could just postpone the game. Both teams happen to have an open thing. But there's plenty of scenarios where that's not going to work. And then you got to say, okay, well, this team is only going to play a 6-game season. You know, we saw some of the other leagues just cancel their winter or their fall seasons altogether. Is it going to be one game at a time for us? Are we actually going to get to see these guys take the field? I've said it before. I'm skeptical. And until I see the first kickoff, I'm going to be skeptical. And then I'll be slightly less skeptical. But I still worry about being able to see an entire season. Now, there's a new test that's out that's like $5 a test. It can be administered on site, doesn't need to be sent to a lab, 15-minute results. If that's something that can get in widespread use, teams can really affordably test every day. And that gives them an even better chance of staying on top of these big outbreaks that just shut down entire programs. So some of it's going to depend on things outside of football's control, no matter how well they're distancing. But we'll see. I hope so, man. I need some Virginia sports in my life.
And things could change within a month, right? So that test could become readily available.
I think that was Abbott Systems. It got approval yesterday, emergency approval or whatever. But, I mean, that could be a game changer for $5 and a 15-minute wait versus, I mean, you know, in business, like if I've – right now if I've got employees that go out, I mean, we've had up to 2-week waits. And so they've not even had results back when they're coming back to work from being exposed because it's like, okay, 14 days is the quarantine time. You know, if you can get results now in 15 minutes, that changes so much.
I don't understand, like this season is going to be so unique, right? Because two of the Power 5 conferences aren't playing, is that correct? Or delaying their start?
Yeah.
So how do you do a playoff?
I mean, you either do it from those teams or I can't, you know, again, because of the money, especially if you've got the SEC and the ACC playing, I can't imagine that who owns the college football playoff. I don't even know who owns the college football playoff. It's not the NCAA. And whoever owns that, they're going to want those bucks. And if they can put on a playoff that has a couple – SEC teams and ACC team and what the Big Ten is the Big Ten playing, or are they one of them that aren't?
I think it's the Pac-12 and Big Ten that aren't playing.
Yeah, Pac-12.
Right. So Big 12 could always contribute somebody. Yeah. And yeah, sports starved as we are right now, I think people would be happy with that. And, you know, now what's going to happen is you're going to get one of those years because there is no official champion. The college football playoff, you know, we've agreed that, okay, they're going to be the champion, but those leagues that play in the spring are going to declare their own championship. I mean, they should, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to be a Pac-10 team or whatever.
But. If I'm a senior and I want to go to the pros next year, or a junior and want to go to the pros next year, and I'm not playing, it's going to be so strange.
Yeah. It's weird having two entirely separate seasons, and
it makes no sense, but it is.
But I mean, you look back, because college football has never had a championship. I mean, it seems like every few years, Alabama and Auburn add championships to their resume. They look back and say, you know what? If we think we're the best team, then we're going to go ahead and say we won in 57 or something. So it wouldn't be that unusual to see two teams. It wasn't that long ago we had two declared champions in the two different polls, right? This was before the playoff and stuff.
Yeah.
The two different polls disagreed, and so you had two teams declaring themselves that. So
yeah, college football has definitely had a lot of controversial endings. This next one, you commented on this. Two scholarships earned. This is pretty cool.
That was a great video. Some guy rolls up like on a, is that a moped, a scooter? I don't know what you call that. The envelopes. You know, what I love is not just the players' reactions that get the scholarships. It's how excited the other players are.
Yeah. They're all jumping up and down. That's great.
You know, everyone knows it's a big deal, and it's cool. And shit, college is expensive these days.
And then the next one, MVP Coach Willie. We had him on the Coach Willie show, but the players versus coaches – had their annual softball game. The coaches won second year in a row. That was pretty cool. I don't know how much interest people have in this. I wonder if they're going to start like putting this game on live stream or something.
I mean, I'd definitely tune in right now, but I mean, even in normal times, I mean, you get that glimpse like, okay, I want to see them doing something athletic. I want to see these guys doing it. And it's so funny because you've got these guys, and that's one of the things that I think people miss with athletes sometimes is guys who are good at a sport are typically good at lots of sports. I mean, right. You know, so many of these
coordinated.
Yeah. Pro football players are great golfers and stuff too, because they have that athletic intelligence to make their muscles do what they're supposed to do when they're supposed to do it. So I bet it would be a pretty entertaining game.
I'm interested in how these two guys got drenched playing softball, but
they're working hard.
Yeah.
I can't even tell who anybody is in the picture.
I know, you can't.
Wearing masks and hats, like.
I can tell the bottom three, and I can tell Jay Willie.
Yeah. All
right, so these are the coaches then.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, these are the coaches.
Like, Orlando Vandross.
Orlando right here.
Johnny to the.
Yeah, I'm Johnny sorry, and Coach runner, Bennett. TV,
right, okay. Jay Willie,
who looks great. He looks like he's lost 50 pounds.
Yeah, he looks great. Jay Willie looks fit, yeah.
I know, he looks great.
Kyle Getters to his right.
This one.
Yep. And then in the corner.
Ronnie? This is Ronnie here or no? I can't even tell. No, this is Ronnie, right? Right?
I don't think so. Is it?
Number three? I think that's Ronnie. I could be wrong, though.
Yeah, you might be right.
It's hard to tell. He's got glasses, hat, and a mask, so.
I know. And then to his right is Bakker.
Okay. Yeah.
Right?
And then is Kyle? Oh, yeah.
I don't know who that is. Maybe that could be Kyle. I don't know. I'm not sure. It's hard to tell.
It is.
Is that Coach Curtis in the middle? Or is he
where?
There? Orlando.
Oh, that's
Orlando. Okay. That's right. You said that's Orlando. I mean, I don't recognize any. These masks are a number on me. I have trouble with the players generally on these ones because you get all these new faces and stuff.
It's even harder.
Man, the first year Kihei was here, they posted the softball picture, and I saw Kihei, and I hadn't really seen – I didn't know much about him, and I'm like, is that like a kid they invited to play with them? I thought it was like a sixth grader. Like maybe he was – like some kind of, I feel awful about him. Then somebody pointed out his kid, and I'm like, oh shit, yeah, that's he's a player. He just looks so much smaller. And I think he's, you know, he's definitely bulked up, obviously, since he's been there, thanks to Coach Curtis.
I mean,
this is the basketball team. How many guys are there?
This is both coaches and basketball.
Oh, okay.
This is everybody. This is everybody. Managers is everybody in here.
But now there's as many coaches on a team that there are players.
Yeah.
I wonder if Poppy can play.
I'm sure he can.
You know what? He might not have played. He has on sandals. Everybody else has on sneakers.
Who?
Yeah, you're right.
Poppy. Oh, yeah.
On the right, he's got flip-flops on. Yeah. Somebody has a boot on right here, too. Is that Cody Statman?
I
think it is. Yeah, boot on.
It's Cody.
Right? Isn't that a boot? He's got a boot on, yeah.
And he looks tall.
He looks really tall there. He looks taller than Justin McCoy and Caden.
I'm disappointed to just now be hearing that Cody has a boot and Poppy's wearing sandals, because that's the kind of dissection of these photos that I expect from UVA message boards. Like, people look, oh, wait a minute, he's hurt and this changes, and people fretting about March because – of a picture of them playing softball.
Probably because most people don't think there's going to be a season, so they don't care.
Right.
They're just like, yeah, it doesn't matter.
Or maybe the rest of us are so used to seeing the boot. I mean, that's like a ceremonial thing, I think,
for that's true.
UVA athletes. A lot of guys have worn the boot in the offseason and broken out that year. So,
Preventative boot.
I think it's something they award somebody with at this point.
I seriously think Ty had a boot all 3 years he was there.
Yeah, right. There's and the breathless message board posts. I was in the path today, and you know, I saw Kyle wearing a boot, and you know, this is it. We're done. And it's like, man, they put a boot on a guy that stubs his toe or hits his funny bone or whatever. I mean, this program uses more boots than anyone. So I've learned not to panic about the boot, but and maybe the fans have gotten used to it too.
Cody Statman in a boot. You've heard it here first.
Cody. I like hearing about the players because they're such good athletes and they're so good. I mean, like play this level, to be made fun of as softball players, I think it's hilarious. So when Jay Willie showed that DeAndre Hunter was so bad, that was hilarious.
I mean, it's completely different muscles and movements, I guess. But then the hand-to-eye coordination, it's all, you know, that.
Right, and I think a lot of those guys pick it up pretty quickly.
Right, but if you've never played, and maybe you played three times in your life,
you're not going to be good. Just keep it real.
Your emotion is going to be bad.
Everything's right? going to be bad.
No one taught you anything unless you watch it, so you study it, and you can really – a lot of athletes –
emulate.
Anything. Right, but you got to see it to watch. So if you've never watched baseball, which clearly a lot of people think is dreadfully boring.
I don't watch baseball.
Oh, gosh, I can't anymore. I went to a playoff game a couple of years ago. My friend gave me tickets. I think I started timing the difference, the amount of time it took from the first, from one pitch to the next pitch.
Yeah.
It was like 35 seconds. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, at this point, it's just a place where I go look at my phone. Baseball game.
Or go hang out with like 10 guys or something.
Right, just hang out. It's just a game in the background.
Yeah, my best friend, he likes to – like if he goes to a game, he's one of those guys that will score it, like take the grid or whatever and
fantasy keep track. Stats.
I'm like, if that's the kind of thing you got to do to make going to a live event interesting, is let me take notes. Like that maybe speaks to it.
That's why basketball is so popular, because it's so easy to go into a game and you can just dial in.
Right.
Football's harder, honestly. Football's hard now. Like, you know, you go to especially like an NFL. Yeah, it's not easy to follow. Like, you can't bring your kids, and it's tough.
Right, especially now, like a lot of teams don't even huddle.
Yeah.
So they're right back at it. You have a play, it's over, and they're right back at the line of scrimmage.
Well, at least you get more actual play, because I think somebody like went back and looked, and like the average Super Bowl has something like 9 minutes of actual football in it. Right. You know, because the clock is running between plays, and baseball wasn't much different. Baseball is like 12 minutes of action or whatever. And those are both 3-hour games. Like college basketball, I'm getting 40 minutes of college basketball.
Yeah.
There will be 40 minutes. And that's the thing where soccer is like, hey, look at me, because in soccer you've got more or less 90 minutes of action. They add extra time at the end to make up for some of the time that just gets wasted. Now, there's still time for guys throwing the ball in and stuff that you can consider dead time. But baseball and football, there's very little actual gameplay that you see. You know, if you're timing, like in baseball, from the time the guy throws the pitch to the time the play is over, you don't actually see a lot of action.
Insane. Crazy. It's like 15% of the game.
Yeah. Right. And then it's replays. In football, it's replays. You get 6 different replays, which I like. I mean, I'm not complaining about football. I enjoy the hell out of watching football. You know, in baseball, it's talking, because you don't know when he's going to throw the pitch, so they can't just be showing replays all the time. They gotta talk about
baseball. Is definitely 5 minutes packed into 4 hours. This is pretty tough.
Oh gosh.
And then here's the next one. We posed this question a little while ago. What do you think is the best Final Four logo?
And like 2019.
Yeah, 20, you know, obviously for us. Do you think that whoever won it that year feels like that logo is the best, or is 2019 actually a good logo?
Yeah, I mean, if being objective, I'm probably not going to enjoy 2019 as much. I do like the symmetrical logo. What is that? 2020, the one that didn't happen.
Atlanta.
That's kind of cool. I like it because there's some symmetry there.
I think 2019 is cool. Like, that's the state. That's the shape of the state, and then it's got the pine trees, and then it's got the lakes. It's pretty good. It's actually really good. I don't know, the design I thought was creative. Like, just having it as the state of the shape is, I thought that was really, really creative. Mm. But some of these old ones are great. I still like 2019, but.
And what is 20 or 1966? It's a D.
Yeah, this one, 1986.
86, sorry.
Final Four. Yeah. D, is that Seattle?
Right, Seattle. I mean, or what is that?
Denver.
Is that the Space Needle? No, yeah, maybe.
Maybe it's Denver. That is a weird one.
The second one there, what is it, 1980? That's like a Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock. Like, oh crap, we're going, we got to drop this stuff this weekend.
Studio 54 looking.
Do a logo.
The Liberty Bell 81, that one's not bad. New Orleans 82 is like a trumpet. That's kind of cool. These are fun though. It's cool that they do this every year, like just to have the home, whatever city, make their own logo. Like Detroit in 2009 is a tire that's on fire, I guess. I don't know what that's supposed to mean. Burning tires.
Right. Represents tires and unemployment.
It's great though. But yeah, we took the 2019 and made our own little shirt. Pretty cool.
Which you can buy at lockerroomaccess.com.
Yeah, you know, subtle plug there. And then here's the next one. More dirt on Will Wade. Have you guys seen this?
Yeah.
Impermissible payments. NCAA is apparently investigating. Is he done? Is he pretty much done? Like,
I mean, he should have been done by what came out already. And LSU is like, whatever. You know, the one thing I'll say about this, if LSU gets the hammer, I don't want to hear any complaining from LSU fans. You know, they, you know, because they'd get rid of the coach and then they'd be like, oh, but now we're punished with scholarship reductions and stuff for somebody that's not even here. Like, you knew this guy was a snake. Like, you know, you've listened to tapes of this guy being a snake and offering kids money. So I don't know. And I was talking with Tucker Martin on Twitter about this. The, you know, there's people that are like, well, these kids deserve more, you know, but the bottom line is you can believe that players should be paid and also that all teams should play by the same rules. Those two ideas are not incompatible. Right. You know, even if you think the system is unjust, you can't just say, well, it's okay for some teams not to follow the rules. And based on what they're saying, like, it's not just that Will Wade didn't follow the rules, he just didn't care. I mean, you know, if he's on tape with these guys and apparently they're talking at least 11 different players that he's offering money to. I mean, he's either just very poor at this, you know, or he just doesn't care.
He doesn't care.
So
is Ben Simmons on that list?
Well, he was before Will Wade, I think. Will Wade was at VCU at that time, I think.
I thought he just got there for what, but I could be wrong.
I don't remember, but, and I haven't seen a list of the players that, you know. That's probably going to be a bigger indictment on his coaching resume as some of the kids that he offered Google money to.
Ben Simmons, college coach.
Do you remember Phony?
No, it's Will Wade.
It was Will Wade.
Well, that's showing. When
was his first year? Center?
Yeah.
2015 to 2016. So when was Will Wade there? I don't necessarily trust Google just to answer this.
Ben Simmons.
So Ben Simmons was a one and done?
Yeah. Half a year and done.
They didn't even make the tournament.
LSU coach Johnny Jones.
Johnny Jones.
Yeah, Jones. He didn't get there till 2017. So
okay.
So I knew somebody on that, a friend who may or may not have been on that staff, on the VCU staff, and he had some conversations about Will Wade, and Will Wade just seemed like not the best dude. and he was investigated. My friend was investigated, and Will Wade has pledged a lot of loyalty and support of my friend because he just didn't say anything.
Wow!
Right? What's he gonna say?
That's crazy.
Right. I mean, nobody wants to be tarred with that. And I mean, the stuff that goes on, it's, yeah. I know the kind of stuff you're getting at, Mark. And it's just, it's a shame because there's so many people that know what's happening. And,
yep.
You know, the only coach I know of that ever spoke out about that and turned anyone in is Bruce Pearl. And then he turned around and did the same stuff, but he's reported guys he was recruiting against for their illegal action. Then he's cheated as well. So that doesn't make him any better, but it's, yeah, I don't know how you reel it in, but
right, I appreciate that
our coaching staff has been able to get things done without, despite disadvantages there.
Chris, did you see this team?
I just saw link to payments. I don't know anything else about it. That's all.
Did you guys see the team? The show on HBO?
Oh, yeah. Because you told me to watch it. I watched it.
Chris, did you watch it?
What show?
The Scheme.
No, huh?
Never know.
Will Wade and Sean Miller and how it all went down.
According to.
What's that?
It was all according to what's his face.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like an infomercial for him and his family, but whatever.
Kid from the Midwest. I can't even think of his name right now. But it was about, and Will Wade is at the podium. I think Sean Miller was actually at the podium, I think, in this game.
Christian Dawkins,
who was like a young AAU coach or supporter, and how he made it big and how he got. But he was railroaded, right? I mean, like, these guys were just as dirty, if not more dirty.
Yes. Right?
Christian Dawkins, I, dude, what are you doing? What you did was illegal. You can't – it's like what you were saying earlier, Chris, is that these are the rules. If you don't abide by them and you violate
you're going to get caught.
You can get caught. If you get caught, there's going to be a penalty.
Yeah.
Right? At least that's how it's supposed to work.
How it's supposed to work. But
because what's his name? Sean Miller and Will Wade – on tape, and nothing happened to him, right? Sean Miller doesn't say, he's like, we got to take care of this. He doesn't say, hey, here's 100,000 or 200,000.
Right.
Will Wade is clearly on tape.
He's talking numbers.
In one game.
Wow.
That's wild.
But then you got guys like Kevin Ollie. Like, what did he do? He had a cookout for a kid or something? Or was that Bruce Pearl?
That was among the things that Bruce Pearl did. Yeah, he had a cookout. Well,
but so did Kevin Ollie. I read a thing just the other day about the things he did were just like, you got to be kidding me. Like sent an illegal text or something. I don't know. But, and these guys seem to be just like.
Right. Bruce Pearl had guys at his house on an unofficial visit, which I guess isn't allowed. And then asked the parents of those recruits to lie about it to the NCAA.
Yeah, that's where they get you.
Yeah. You know, that's, as they say, the cover-up's worse than the crime.
Yeah, exactly. If you tell the truth.
How long does Patino last at Iona?
About a week.
I don't know. I'm delighted that he's coaching again. But
I am too.
Does he last one season? Does he last three seasons at Iona? Or does he get a big time job? Or
wait till he gets his first one and done. When a consensus top five recruit goes to Iona and then another consensus top five recruit goes to Iona. Then, Patina's got 1 year left before.
Have you ever seen Iona College?
No.
If there's a potential one and done that goes to Iona College.
then you know it's going
down right now.
Right. That's the thing. I mean, you know.
Will he get one? Will he even get someone to list him as the top top three?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Patino? I love him. I like Patino. And, you guys know I'm friends with his kids, especially one of them. The interesting thing about Iona, so the kid that I know really well, Ryan, he lives in Harrison, I think, New York, which is right there.
Yep.
Has a new baby,
really close.
By a year old.
20 minutes away.
Yeah. So maybe, I don't know. Maybe Patino's happy there. He's a New York guy. He's got his place in the city. Probably Long Island, too.
That dude has 9 lives.
The thing is, I want to like Rick Pitino. Like, I love – he's one of those guys. I like listening to him in post-game and in interviews. He obviously knows how to coach. And It's just I'm not convinced that coaching in college is for him, but his NBA, you know,
and recruit
experience didn't go that well. Right. I mean, he's good at it, but it's yeah, the rules are you know, flexible to him, and you know, and I just right. I mean, I had a friend that was an adjunct professor at Kentucky. When Pitino was there, and you know, like you got a kid in the class that didn't show up for the entire class, and then you know, the day before grades are due or whatever, he gets a call from the academic advisor for the basketball team, and it's like, yeah, well, we know he's struggling. What can we do about this? And you know, you got to pass the kid. You know, you don't want to be the professor that is the reason that one of the stars doesn't play in the NCAA tournament. And, you know, or doesn't play the conference. I guess it was like, you know, December or whatever. I mean, it's just so shady and crappy, and, you know, and, you know, what Carolina did, I think it would be foolish to think there aren't a lot of other schools. You know, they may not have thrown entire departments under the bus like UNC did, but, you know, there's, you know, the kids are directed to classes. And I'm sure, I mean, shit, I took art gut when I was at UVA because it was an easy class. I mean, you know, kids are gonna do that. But there were, you know, Carolina just took that ball and ran with it.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
I'm complaining about Carolina. I'm sorry.
I took a couple of those kind of classes and they were hard. Theater tech, you had to learn how to tie a slip knot. I had no idea what the fuck you went on.
I remember they called it art gut, and it was like the history of contemporary art or whatever, which is like,
oh, I took that too.
Yeah. Lydia, whatever.
Yes. Looking at,
yeah. Yeah. Every class is looking at slideshows of, okay, here's a room with one blinking light bulb. And well, I don't remember.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I don't remember what the exam was even about, but
her trick was, it was like 700 kids in the class. And her trick was she knew people weren't going to go. It was my last credits that I needed, my whatever it's called, spring semester last year. And so she'd come in and be like, all right, the test today is what color is the rose on my dress? And if you're not there, you can't get it.
Right.
So luckily I was there for every test somehow.
Somehow.
And she was great, though. She was a cool woman.
I got to see some cool modern art. I'm not sure what I learned about it, but. Yeah, there's some stuff that I didn't know existed.
Well, when you go to a museum, you can appreciate it much more than that.
Right. Yes, I go, I stroke my non-existent beard. Like, yeah, this is interesting.
My teacher, Lydia, my professor, Lydia, said,
you know,
that's how you get girls, Chris.
Yeah, I was having an interesting conversation with Lydia. I don't remember her name. It was Lydia something.
Dude, you pulled Lydia, though. That was phenomenal. That's right.
Brilliant. I learned something in that class. I learned my teacher's first name.
Lydia with the pink roses on her dress.
That's right. That's right.
Now I'm curious her name. That's going to be one of those things that bother me. Lydia.
I won't get it. I feel like it was like a Russian name.
Yeah. Yeah. It was. Yeah. It was Eastern, Russian or Eastern, Eastern European, European or something. Yeah.
Yeah. She was a character.
Last thing I was going to talk about was trending. We started this little sports card memorabilia thing, which I went down this rabbit hole, and I'm just going to show you two cards. Look at the prices. This is a DeAndre Hunter rookie card, $12,999. And the second one, also DeAndre Hunter rookie card, $9,999.
What are the most expensive ones? You know, does a Magic Johnson rookie card?
No, so there was this equivalent for Zion was $500,000.
Come on.
No, that's not a joke. So apparently there's this crazy trend right now where these Gary V and a bunch of these, I don't know what you call them, and aggressive hedge fund, whatever, day traders are going in here and just like manipulating the market by buying up, you know, killing all of the supply side, just buying it all and then driving up the demand and reducing the supply and making the prices crazy high. And like everyone's doing it. And it's like, you know, we did this sports card memorabilia thing, and they introduced me. I researched it. I'm like, it's really happening. Like, people are paying astronomical prices for these cards. It is amazing.
That's what happens when the Fed says rates are never going up again.
People.
No, I mean, it does happen because you buy things you think are scarce.
Yeah.
Like, for whatever reason, like right now in the stock market, dude, any stock that goes up $100 a day, everyone is buying because they think tomorrow it's going to go up $100.
Here, I'll just Google Zion Williamson.
Isn't past performance a predictor of future results, Doug?
I put that in my disclaimer at the
end. Look at that. Zion Williamson rookie ticket card, $250,000.
Stop it.
And look at the next one. Stupid. National Treasure Zion Ja Morant, $150,000. It's not like one card. It's all of them.
How do you get them?
You open these packs. You open a pack.
Okay. Sorry, guys. I got to run.
Mark,
go to the bodega and buy every pack.
It's not like these are crazy. Like this is a regular hoops rookie card. You can get it at Walmart. $120,000.
So we should just be buying packs of basketball cards.
Well, so yesterday when we had this, the Phil, Rob Craig on, and he says there are actually people now who know the delivery dates for UPS to go to Target. They'll take a lawn chair and sit in the card aisle all day and wait for them to stock it and buy it all the second it comes out because they want these cards. And it's just like, this opened my eyes to this whole thing because I'm like oblivious to all of it, obviously, like most people should be. But this is crazy. My mind is blown.
Well, I was telling Tita before the show that I collected baseball cards in like 86, 87. And my favorite two players, guys that I knew were going to be both Hall of Famers, were the Bash Brothers, Jose Canseco and Mark McGwire. So I got all their cards, rookie cards and stuff. So I actually, T-Dub looked up the Mark McGwire Donruss rookie card. It's like $1,500. And I've got, I'm pretty sure multiple of them now. I don't even know where they are, but I got them sleeved and stuff.
Sitting on a gold mine.
Hey, I got tired of collecting baseball cards. And then of course, I was very disappointed. Jose Canseco turned out to be a total flake. And then Mark McGwire loaded up on steroids and briefly set the record. So it was kind of an ignominious collection, but I still might if I can find those.
I mean, the theory is that the people that collected those cards in the 90s are now have disposable income and are these people like Gary Vee who have large disposable and they are willing to just go all in on these cards because, you know, it's nostalgia or whatever, and they're doing this to the market because cards were not popular and the supply was low and these guys came in and just took all of the supply and drove up the demand, which is like,
it's like the price means nothing, whatever it takes to get it.
Yeah. I mean, Phil was telling us there's like, apparently there's a Slack or some Discord chat where they discuss it and they'll all collectively go in and buy up every single thing on eBay until there's none left. And then the prices will go sky high.
Right.
It's just like, wow, that's crazy.
I remember when I was a kid, I would go to there were toy stores at the mall, KB Toys and whatever. And when they would get in these Tops packs that had three different stacks in them, but they were in clear cellophane. So you'd look for packs that had a star on the front or back.
Right.
And so you wanted to be there when they put them out because you'd dig through the box and see if there were any that had a star. Because then it's like, okay, I got a pack that's worth more than what I'm going to check out for.
Mark, you're on that podcast for a little bit. That's fascinating. Like, guys sitting in stores waiting for the thing. That's their job. Like, incredible. Who would think that?
Dude, I bought the baseball cards because of that bubble gum thing.
That's good gum.
Favorite. What's your favorite card of all time? My favorite, for some reason, was Willie McCovey. And he just looked like the baddest mother.
I'm just sorting through. Look at Luka Doncic.
Player ever.
400.
I don't know. I ended up with several Pete Incaviglia rookie cards, like rated rookie. I don't know if those were Tops, but we were sure Pete Incaviglia. Hey, search for Pete Incaviglia.
Yeah, I was buying them when I was.
How do you spell that?
So, Pete.
PD.
No, P-D-E-T. Just Pete. Just Pete. I N C A V.
There you go.
Pete Incaviglia. Yeah.
That is insane.
No one's even selling his cards.
If I do rookie, maybe. There you go. $70.
$70 for a Fleer? I probably have a Fleer if it's. Are there any tops in there? Donruss.
There's a tops. Oh, there we go. $45.
Yeah. I probably have a stack of those. I was sure he was going to be. I sucked at prognosticating who's going to be.
if we keep Flyer and Jose Canseco,
let's go Malcolm Brogdon rookie. What is our guess on that? 2,500. Okay.
Wow.
2,000.
So I guess you pay 15 grand for DeAndre, thinking he might become the next Kyrie.
Zion, right?
Whatever it is, right?
I mean that Luka. Did you see the Luka Doncic card?
You're buying a $500.
It's $500,000.
But that's the price somebody's going to sell it at, right? That's not the market.
All right, you want to see? Let's hit sold.
Yeah, exactly. Find the last sale.
All right, let's do. How do I do that? All right, sold items.
I mean, I have Ty on eBay for like 50 grand.
$119,000 was the last one.
Wow.
Jesus. Well, it says best offer accepted, so.
There you go. There's one for $37,000 for this one. That's real money, man. That's like, there's another one, $33,000. $30,000. Wow, that's crazy. That's a car. Like, what are you people doing?
It's not like it's Hank Aaron's, like, home run that set the record, the ball, right? It's
all
like,
right. Michael Jordan. Let's say Michael Jordan rookie sold. Last one's hold.
1.5, I'm going to guess.
Let's see.
And with a cursive? The cursive jersey?
70. Here's a 77,000. That was authenticity verified.
Much more?
Than a Michael Jordan. Wow. 70 grand. It was about 70 grand for a Michael Jordan rookie.
Yeah, wow. Something's wrong with this.
Well, I think it's really about that supply and demand piece. Because, like, if there's just no Luka Doncic rookies and all these new kids are fans and everyone's buying them up for 30 grand, then.
That's crazy.
Right? Then if you want one, you just have to pay one of these guys 100 grand.
I told you guys a story about the Michael Jordan basketball camp, right? My buddy.
Yeah, your buddy that want the autograph. Yeah.
So my buddy's son went to it, and he came out with an authenticated Michael Jordan autograph. There were hundreds of people waiting outside offering you, hey, give me that. I'll buy that basketball for $500, whatever.
Wow.
So my buddy said, hey, next year, Bryant, let's call him, get five of your friends to go to camp. He's like, Dad, it's expensive. He goes, no, I got it. He bought all this paraphernalia and got it all signed and just sold on the way out.
That's so brilliant. I mean, yeah, it's brilliant. It's...
And he's a San Fran guy.
I got it.
Joe Harris, $300.
I got you, kids. I got you.
All right. Joe Harris is definitely cheaper than everyone else. What about Ty Jerome?
Joe Harris is not cheap.
What's our guess?
What was Joe's? $790?
Wow. Joe, my first one out, Ty.
$350.
Cameron Johnson.
$2,000. Ty Jerome certified, $600.
Damn,
$600.
I think I got a couple of those.
I got a coming up. He'd love to hear you've sold all this shit.
I'm like, wait a minute, this is yours,
right? M. Jerome, wait a minute.
Yeah. Oh, Ty's dresser. Is there a Doug Smith rookie card out there? No, there's not. What about Corey Alexander? What do you think he's worth?
I don't even know what the numbers are now.
Corey, $599.
Oh, you got to buy that, TW.
Corey Alexander, rookie, $599.
Oh, you know what's funny? Did I tell you guys this? Somebody sent me a Courtney Alexander card.
Oh, that's a great one.
It's a rookie card, but he's got his Virginia gear on.
Here's a Courtney Alexander.
I'll find it. I'll send it to you, TW.
$10.
I mean, for us, though, it's pretty cool, right?
That is
right.
Cool. He's in a Virginia shirt. That's the one. The one that I want is the Dawn Staley.
Mm.
We got to get Dawn on the podcast, man.
I want one of these. It's expensive though. $899.
$900. Mm.
Have you guys talked about her tweets? She had a little bit of a Twitter war.
Did she? Let's take a look.
She said, some guy, some total jackass came at her, blah, blah, whatever. You know, and I was like, dude, you got the wrong one. You're messing with the wrong girl here. I guess it's called a Twitter war, right? He replied to her.
I don't know. She's got a lot of tweets right now.
Yeah.
Is Troy Vincent?
It was before. No, not true. I love Troy Vincent, by the way. He could ball.
National Dog Day.
It might have been last week. It was about.
Look at her. Go to the tweets and replies. Are you on the tweets and replies column?
Yeah.
So you'll be able to see who she's beefing with. Yeah, she doesn't seem like someone you want to come at.
No. If you want to know about her and her history and what she's done with herself, it's like, back off, dude.
Yeah, seriously.
Wait, was that it? Did you just pass?
It did look like it. Something around that.
Oh, this one?
You are...
Mike
hear
Haley?
Right, this guy's coming out of it. You got to learn to comply.
Oh, there you go. It's in your tweet. That's the question. Police need reform. We're on the same side.
Yeah, it was about that.
Oh, Mike Haley. Okay, I got you.
It looked like it had a happy ending, at least.
It did have an happy ending. It was, if you look at the one before, he was, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, it's a, you know, it's a tough time right now.
What did you guys talk about before, all this stuff or no?
Yeah, we went a little bit in on the NBA.
Oh, was it? Cut. All right, I'm taking you back. Was it Lydia Gasman? Doug, the art history, art gut professor.
That sounds right. Sounds like something like that, yeah. I don't remember. I remember.
It's probably right. I think.
Great job by you.
It says UVA art history professor. No, I was Googling, sorry. But Lydia Gasman, she apparently passed away in 2010.
She was not young when she was my teacher.
Yeah, I'm pretty – Lydia Gasman sounds right to me.
I was there every class.
Yeah, this looks like her. Were you?
Nope.
Yeah,
it was Lydia my last Gasman. Class. It was springtime. It was like I was done.
Picasso was scholar. Over. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was my – last year too. Yeah, Lydia Gasman. Oh, that's a shame. Do you get an A? I think I got an A.
I have no idea.
I think everyone got an A. But
yeah.
Well, appreciate you guys. Another week in the books.
Yes, sir.
Until next week. September next week.
September already? Oh goodness.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll have something special to announce for September for you, Phony.
Yeah, I'm excited. We got something in the works. We'll see.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you guys see my shirt? My Cavman shirt?
I like it. I like it.
I got a surprise.
That's awesome. Oh, nice.
I get so many compliments from this. This is like, I have a couple items that I wear that I only get dude compliments from, and this is one of them. Dudes love it.
That's awesome. That's great. Get you some dude love.
That's it.
All right, fellas. Until next week.
Yes, sir. Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening.
All right, dude.